We appreciate the presence of the Lord. We appreciate the opportunity to come before Him because, you know, we were looking in the Bible study Thursday night just about, you know, David's five smooth stones, speaking of grace, and, you know, looking at how that invitation to come to His throne of grace in time of need. We're grateful for that, that we can come before His throne and He grants us what we need, you know, in the time. Sometimes, you know, we wish His timing was different than ours, but yet His way is perfect and His timing is perfect, and He wants to give us what we need. And I kind of want to look at a little thought that kind of goes along with that, and turn with me, if you would, in Revelation 19. And we're seeing the Apostle John here, you know, in his visions, and he's beholding a heavenly being. And I just wanted to look at what is said to him, what he experiences. So Revelation 19 and verse 10, it says, "And I fell at his feet and worshipped him and said unto him, and he said unto me, actually, see that you do it not. I am your fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now, what's happening here is John is overwhelmed. You know, he's getting this revelation of heavenly glory. It's given to him. And, you know, and it's of the bride of Christ. And, you know, we kind of looked at that when we studied Revelation, that it's going to be so glorious. And John caught a glimpse of that, and it was just so overwhelming. He just kind of fell down at this fellow's feet, and this fellow said, "No, don't do that. Don't worship me. You know, worship the Lord." But he says something interesting. He says, I'm just giving you a testimony. You know, I have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. You know, it's like this, the testimony was flowing, you know, the Spirit was flowing through these visions and these revelation. But then he says something very interesting. He says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, this gives us an understanding of the kingdom of God. And one of the ways that Jesus and His kingdom is revealed to us, that He's testifying to us, that He's providing, you know, our needs, and He's strengthening in us and giving us, you know, wisdom and understanding. It says the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is that having a prophetic flow in our lives and in our midst, you know, makes a difference. When we allow the spirit of prophecy to flow, the testimony of Christ manifests among us and in our midst. And so I just wanted to look at this with you this morning for a bit on this gift, the gift of prophecy, as it's described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:12. You know, about these gifts. He says, "Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of the spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." You know, Paul, as the kind of the father of the New Testament church of the Gentiles, he desired his people to be zealous, to be actively seeking to be filled with, to flow in the spiritual gifts, because it had a specific result. You know, when the gifts are flowing, there's something that takes place. It says that you may excel to the edifying of the church. To the edifying of the church. And this word edifying is kind of a neat word. It's actually an architectural word. You know, if you like working with your hands and building things, you know, some of the guys in here have built things and like working with hands. This is that Greek term that would be used. It's for the building up. It means to make structurally sound, you know, not to have something weak and flimsy. You know, sometimes you put stuff together, you know, get something like made from China that you put together with screws and stuff, and it's like this is a little rickety. That's not what it means. It means to you put something together, you know, and it's strong, it's sturdy. You can stand on top of it; it'll hold weight. And so that's what Paul is saying, that when we flow in the Spirit and these gifts are operating in our midst, it makes us strong. It confirms us. It puts us on a good foundation. You know, in reality, we are all in the construction business, right? We are to build up one another. It's each of us has been given that responsibility to make sure, you know, each of us, you know, each other is built up, is strong. And if there's something we can do, if there's a screw we can turn, or if there's something we can help to build up others, we do that because that is our calling, is to edify one another. And so one of the ways God has ordained for us to do this is the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, he's not just talking about the ministry gifts. He's not talking about, like, evangelists and prophets. You know, we don't have to have an evangelistic word of the Lord or, you know, have that ministry office in order to do this. Otherwise, it wouldn't get done. Because each of us has to operate in these gifts. And so, you know, it can't all just be up to the pastor. Because we're all called to that building ministry of building up one another. We are all called to be living temples. That's kind of something to think about. We are to be living temples with God dwelling in our midst. And, you know, we can study some of the glorious temples of old, like Solomon's temple and, you know, everything that took place, the expense and the great work that took place to build that because it was a temple of glory. Because God was dwelling there. You know, later on, Herod's temple, they spent a lot of money and time building that. You know, of course, God's glory wasn't there as much as the other ones. You know, he came there to as the Lamb, and they didn't accept him. But still, it was a building of glory. And so the Lord says, we are to be temples, living temples, where he is dwelling there. And it still takes a lot of building. And in one sense, it's more challenging because it's invisible, right? We're building up something that's invisible. You know, it's hard to do that, hard to know what needs to be done when you can't see it. We can only be led by the Spirit. We can only be sensitive and ask the Lord to lead us. And Lord, give me something that will be encouraging to others. Help me to have an eye to build people up and to say words that will encourage and strengthen them. And that's what he wants to do. You know, we're not in the natural dispensation. We're in that spiritual one. We're built upon the rock of Christ. And we are to have a glorious temple. And one of the ways that Paul says that we are to do that is through the spirit of prophecy. Because it is the testimony of Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 1, he has a lot to say about this thought of prophecy, of having that prophetic flow in the church and in our lives. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow love, right? Follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, this is kind of interesting because this is chapter 14, right? What's chapter 13? That's the love chapter. That's where we read that love is the ultimate, right? That's the pinnacle and our priority in life, loving God and loving man. But immediately, the very next verse after that, I mean, there wasn't chapters back then, but he talks about love, and then he says, yes, follow love and not or, and spiritual gifts. Follow those, but rather that you may prophesy. So he's given us some order of importance there. You know, follow love, but yes, follow these spiritual gifts. Have them flowing. And that word follow in the Greek, it actually means to flee after, to pursue, like with vehemence. You know, you're running after that to catch it. And so we are to press towards these gifts, you know, with intensity, with purpose. You know, the robe of the priest can give us an example of what the Lord wants in our life. You know, around the priest's, the hem of his garment was to be pomegranates, speaking of love. But then also there were to be bells, speaking of the gifts of the Spirit operating. You know, you could say that bell proclaiming the life of the Spirit. In fact, the high priest, one of the ways they knew he was alive when he went into the most holy place was those bells were ringing. If they heard the bells stop ringing, they knew, well, God wasn't too happy with this high priest. You know, he kind of went in there with fear and trembling. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We go in with joy because we're going to the throne of grace. But, you know, we're to have both. We're to have that love and we're to have that life. You know, when those bells were ringing, it was proclaiming he's still alive in there. And we're to have those proclaiming the life of the Spirit flowing through us. You know, so he's saying, above all, we need love, but concerning these gifts, we need to follow them. We need to pursue them vehemently. But rather, right, but more than everything else of these gifts, that we should prophesy. So that catches our attention, right? Basically, Paul is saying, love God. That's the ultimate. But then, what should we pursue? That we have a prophetic flow in our lives. That we can allow the Lord to speak through us, through His Spirit. And so, above all, we need prophecy in our midst. You know, prophecy is what helps us to build up the kingdom of God in our own selves, but in each other. And so I wanted to just kind of consider that thought. You know, so every once in a while we got to get back to that thought, prophecy. We need that flowing in our lives because it's so vital. You know, when sometimes we can be like that piece of furniture. You know, if we don't have that prophecy and the word of the Lord confirming us, we can kind of get rickety. Right, in our walk with the Lord, we can kind of get like a cheap little Chinese, you know, piece of furniture from Walmart. And, you know, well, it does the job, but it's not very strong. But yet, when the word of the Lord flows, it strengthens us, it builds us up, and confirms us, it braces us so that we can handle the pressure of life. And there's power. When the word of the Lord is flowing in our midst, there's great power. Because Paul goes on to describe what happens when prophecy is flowing in the midst of his people. This is in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 and 25. He says, but if all prophesy, and there comes in one that believes not or is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is in your midst of a truth. It's something he can't deny. Now, there's some people who deny the gifts and deny such and such, you know, the working of the Spirit. But that's because they haven't been in a service where the prophetic word is flowing and the Lord starts revealing things about their lives. You know, Pastor Bailey used to share stories back in his day. There was a church where it was just that atmosphere of revival and that atmosphere of the word the Lord's being spoken, is that even just the regular congregants, they were afraid to go to church unless their life was right. They knew if they didn't have something right, they had wrong relationships, like they'd been fighting with their brother or sister, and they went to church, God would expose it through prophecy. You know, that's how powerful it was. And, you know, I think we're going to come back into that time again. But even now, we don't have to, you know, say, well, God's not speaking in that way. Well, He speaks when He needs to speak. But if prophecy is flowing, there's power. He can build us up and He can strengthen us. You know, even for those who are skeptical. There was a certain pastor who came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit before his wife. And because of that, they were going to different churches. And, you know, one day she came to his church. And there was a visiting pastor coming. And he was giving the message. It wasn't even during open worship or anything. He was speaking his message. And halfway through his message, he just stopped. And he looked at this woman. He didn't even know who she was. And he started prophesying about her life and saying things that he had no clue about, but she knew. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Because she knew. She couldn't deny it. She knew it was the truth. And the Lord was speaking to her through prophecy and the power of His Word. She was convinced of all. She was judged of all because everyone heard it. You know, the power of the Spirit wants to flow. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak through us. The Lord was testifying. The Spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. You know, it's wonderful we can have a flow of the Spirit. Another way we can have the flow of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. And we want to do that. You know, Paul says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14:4, he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, he's building, but there's a difference because he's building himself, right? He's building up his own spirit. But he that prophesies is building up the church, is edifying the church. Now, Paul made a big deal about speaking in tongues, didn't he? Right? He said to his church, I speak in tongues more than everyone else here, more than all of you. And so he did not neglect that. And he wasn't minimizing that, but he wanted to make a difference. Right? It's important that we build ourselves up. You know, I try to make it a goal of speaking in tongues every day. Sometimes I forget, I haven't spoken in tongues today, you know, but I try to do that in my devotional time and praying, you know, because it builds us up, and that's so important. But when we're gathered together, what makes a difference? Now, it's good to worship in the Spirit, worship in tongues. There's a building up in that. It invites the presence of the Lord. But what really builds us is when there's a prophetic flow, when we open ourselves to the word of the Lord and he speaks. And Paul says this. He says this in verse 19. Right? 1 Corinthians 14:19 says, when I'm in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding. Really, I'd rather give a prophecy of just five words because there's more power in that. You know, I can teach others, I can build them up than if I spoke 10,000 words in an unknown tongue because I'm not building them up. I'm building myself up, but it has no effect on others. But I thought it's interesting. I can just speak five words and there's power there. I remember starting off, you know, in prophecy, and sometimes I'd only get these little things, you know, sometimes just two words, you know, or just five words. And I'd think, is this even worth saying? Well, Paul says, I would gladly just speak five words because there's power in that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking because it's building us up and speaking to hearts and to lives. And he says, he kind of confirms this in verse 3 again. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, but he that prophesies speaks unto men, unto edification, unto exhortation, unto comfort. All right, and so it gives kind of a clear picture. We're built up, yes, but we're exhorting, we're encouraging, we're comforting. How many of you have received a, you know, you've heard a word spoken out in church and it's been, oh, that's for me. And it so encouraged your heart. It kind of encouraged you to keep going, to face your situation. And I remember some of the most memorable and powerful experiences in my Christian life have been when someone's given me a word, right? They've felt a word from the Lord. They felt some prophetic flow, and either, you know, alone or in a service or through the laying on of hands, you know, just praying. And you've received that word and it sticks with you. Sometimes for your whole life. Sometimes they've given me words and I'm like, why did I not write that down? Someone gave us a word at our wedding. And to this day, I can't remember what it was, but I know it was significant. And I'm like, well, there you go. I didn't write it down, and so I've kind of lost that. But there's other ones I've remembered, I've written down. And they're precious. But it's because someone was willing to be open to the Holy Spirit, to be a vessel, to speak his word. And it built up. It exhorted, it edified. You know, we need that. But you know, there's something else I've learned about prophecy. It does not just bless the one who receives it. It also blesses the one who gives it. Because the one who gives it, they're a vessel for the Holy Spirit. They have the life of the Spirit flowing. I remember one person was needed to get the victory in their life, and they were praying about that, and they went to counsel with Pastor Bailey, and they were basically saying, Pastor Bailey, I've got this issue and this problem in my life. And he said something very surprising to them they were not expecting, you know. And so here they are, I need to overcome, how do I overcome in this area? And as he was sitting there, Pastor Bailey said, you know, I feel the Lord speaking, you need to prophecy. That has nothing to do with the problem in my life. But Pastor Bailey said, I feel that as you prophesy and you allow the Spirit to flow through you, it's going to release victory in that area. And it will help you to overcome. You see, there's power. There's a certain level of the increase of the Spirit of God as we allow him to flow through our lives. If we're obedient, because we know if you've given a word, you're stepping out in faith, aren't you? It's hard not to, right? You don't have any assurance that your word is right or, you know, that it's of the Lord. sometimes you feel that quickening power, but how many of you given a word, it's like, well, I don't even know if this is really, I don't feel something. I get this thought. So, okay, Lord, I'm going to give it. And sometimes you don't even know, and you never find out till heaven if that was even effective. But yet we can trust. The Lord does not give his word without a meaning, without a purpose, right? His word will not return unto us void, purposeless, empty. If we are faithful, if we're obedient to step out and to give that word. But it blesses us. Might start out small. Paul said, just 5 words. But I think, you know, it's whatever the Lord gives you. It could even just be 1 word. Or 3 words. Maybe don't give up. What's that? Yeah, 3 words. Maybe someone needs to hear that. But as we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, he can build up, he can edify, he can encourage and comfort. One last verse I just wanted to share about this. This is something that Paul shared to his spiritual son, Timothy. Now, I'm sure Timothy at this point was pretty advanced, right? Because he had given him responsibility over the church. He probably knew what it was like to prophesy and flow in the gifts. But look at what Paul said to him. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. He says, Timothy, I want to put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Stir up, which was put in thee by the laying on of hands. Stir up the gift of God. You know, sometimes we can let, well, we can initially have his gifts flowing in us, but you know, we can kind of let them grow dormant if we don't function in them, we don't operate in them, we don't practice them. And I found this to be the case myself, and I'm like, why haven't I given a prophecy in a while? And then I'll think about that. Well, have I asked the Lord? Lord, can I speak? Can I have a prophecy? And if the answer is no, that's it. You know, there's an aspect to the gifts of the Lord, and especially prophecy, that we have to stir ourselves up. Stir ourselves up in seeking him. That's not, doesn't mean that if you don't get a prophecy at church, then there's something wrong. But, you know, it's just learning to be sensitive and flowing in the Spirit. And there has to be a stirring up. Our flesh would rather that we did not, right? Have you ever, you know, about to step out in faith and then your flesh goes, are you sure that's right? Are you sure you want to give that? What if you give it and someone else starts speaking at the same time? That would be so embarrassing. Your flesh has lots of good excuses not to give the word of the Lord. But Paul says, stir yourself up. Get a hold of yourself. Step out in faith and let the Spirit of God flow. You know, it's really true. I have found it in my life. If I do not ask the Lord, Lord, do you have a word? Lord, would you speak through me? Do you know what happens? I don't get a word. The Lord doesn't speak through me. And so, you know, when we come together, I say, Lord, would you speak to us? Whether it's through me or through someone else, Lord, give us words. Because if we go too long without his prophetic flow, we can lose that important aspect of his Spirit building us up, strengthening us in our inner man, in our beings. And that's why sometimes we have to put our flesh on the cross to step out in faith. Because we're doing an invisible work, right? We're building up invisible temples and we're doing invisible work, and so we have to step out in faith and trust. Sometimes we don't even know. And, you know, we want to prepare ourselves for that. We can speak a word. We might never know that that was a word in season or a word that did anything till heaven. And then all will be revealed because it's all written down. And I think, you know, when we get to heaven, a lot of people are going to come up. If we have been faithful to speak the word of the Lord and give prophecies, I think we're going to get a lot of people coming up and say, you know, I so appreciated that word that day, that Sunday morning. Like, oh, really? I didn't even know. It's nice when you get that confirmation. Sometimes the Lord allows that. But, you know, we want to just be obedient. and trust because He's building us up. And so we can believe that as we allow the Lord, as we seek Him, Lord, would You cause Your spirit of prophecy to flow, that I can testify of You, that the testimony of Jesus would build us up. You know, two things are going to take place. That we're allowing the Spirit to flow, to bring strength, to bring life, to bring encouragement to other people because we're edifying. We are called to be in the building ministry. And so we want to take up our tools, our hammers, our axes and saws, and whatever God puts in our heart, and we want to do that with all of our heart. But also something else is happening. Right? We're building up one another, but we are being strengthened. We are being encouraged because the Spirit is flowing through us. And so I want to encourage you, just as we're worshiping together, you know, as we gather together, let's remember, we are to love one another, we are to love God, but then we don't want to forget, we need to stir ourselves up and seek those spiritual gifts. I brought out one, this is prophecy, but we want the gifts to flow because that is how we build. That is how this work here in Clearwater is going to be established, not because of anything necessarily naturally we do, but because there's something spiritually taking place. There's a building, there's a strengthening. And so as we do that, let's start asking the Lord, Lord, do You have a word for me? Lord, can I give something, even if it's just some little thing, because it will bless others and it will bless ourselves. And the life of the Spirit will flow. Father, we just thank You. Lord, we're so grateful for the power of Your Spirit. Lord, that You are the God who comforts us, You encourage us, You strengthen us, You build us up. And Lord, we ask that You would flow in an even greater way, and a greater portion of Your Spirit would just flow through us in this place. Oh, Lord, even make us candidates for the gift of prophecy to flow. Lord, even give us that boldness to step out, Lord, to keep our eyes upon You and the kingdom of God and be willing, Lord, to bless others and to build them up and to have Your word flow, we ask. Oh, Lord, let Your Spirit just be mighty upon us, working mightily in us and through us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.